invite you to stand for the gospel as you are able. The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. Mark, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 24th verse. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God our Creator and our coming Savior, His Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, I posed a question. Why? It was a question that I wanted to be something that we as a church can kind of focus on and really reflect on our own identity, both as Christians and as Bethania, as this particular church in this community. Why do we believe what we believe? And why are we called to do what we feel called to do? It's an important question that goes unreflected on often. Last week I talked about how we so often think of what and how, but not so often do we consider why. So I want to continue this today, especially as it is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is a Latin word, literally means to come. This is the first Sunday of Advent as we prepare for this month of worship leading up to Christmas, and it is a time where we prepare for the coming of Christ. And our readings will look at this in several different ways. The first Sunday of Advent always comes from this kind of apocalyptic sense. It always starts what feels like at the end of the story, looking at how Christ will come again into our world after his advent on this earth 2,000 years ago. As time goes on, we will start from the beginning of the story. We will look at the coming of Jesus in human form, the story of Christmas, the story we're all very used to this time of year. But we always start at the end when we begin Advent, which is why our readings take on this apocalyptic, kind of a scary sound. And so the question for us is why? Why Jesus? Why did Jesus come into our world? And just like last week, that's a question I'd like you to think about in your own head. Why do you think Jesus came? More specifically, we claim that God is all-powerful. God could have brought salvation to our world any way that God wanted to. But God came as Jesus. God came in a very specific way. Why? Why do you think that is? I imagine we could probably have a really long discussion about that if I just open the floor. We could all come up with a bunch of really good answers. I think whatever those answers are, though, it's going to boil down to a very human place. I don't think it's going to be a matter of theology or pointing to the right piece of scripture or tradition. But I think it's going to come from a very, very human place. And it's that very human place that we hear echoed throughout our readings today. The way that Isaiah starts, it almost gives me chills. I want to read it again. But just hear this for a moment and hear the very human place that this comes from. Isaiah writes, "Oh, that you would just tear open the heavens and come." I imagine each and every one of us here have expressed that sentiment at some point in our lives. That is the sentiment being expressed in this writing. These are a people who have just been released from exile in Babylon and have come home to Jerusalem and discovered that the home they were exiled from is no longer present. Their homes are gone. Their status is gone. They are no longer recognized that the people by the people who are currently living there. And they just simply cry out, "God, that you would just, please, just tear open the heavens and come." It is a sentiment that comes from that very human place when you are going through something so overwhelming, so seemingly catastrophic, that the only way you can respond to it, the only thing you can muster from within your soul is to just look up to the heavens and say, "God, please, I don't know what to do, but just come. Just be here. Just tear open the heavens and come. Please." That is a sentiment that is echoed so powerfully and so humanely. Something that each and every one of us can connect to. The story of the Old Testament, the story of ancient Israel, is this echo. It is a cry out by the people, and it is God's response. From famines to floods, to slavery, to defeat in war, to exile, "God, please just come." And the response is, God would send Joseph to help with famines. God would send Noah to help with floods. God would send Moses to help with liberation. God would send the judges and the prophets and kings to help lead. It is a story of cry and response. "God, please just come." And God would answer. This echo would go on to the turn of the millennium. But something would change. The people of Israel had gone from a place of a powerful kingdom to exile by Babylon to suddenly being marginalized and oppressed by Rome. And this cry would be lifted up once again, "God, that you would please just tear open the heavens and come." But something would change. God's response would change. Instead of sending a king or a prophet or a judge or a liberator, God, in his abundant love and grace, would come himself as Jesus. Why? Why Jesus? He wouldn't just come as a human, and it wouldn't be in the form of a mighty king, a powerful leader, someone of wealth, but very specifically, a poor Jewish carpenter, a poor Jewish rabbi, a man who would dedicate the ministry of his life lifting up those who have been marginalized and pushed to the outer rims of society, women, people who are disabled, lepers, sinners, tax collectors, drunks. Why Jesus? Because God wants us to know that He is present in our lives, in all things. Why a poor Jewish rabbi? So that each and every one of us would know that our human experience, the pain that we go through, the loss that happens in our lives, so that we would know that God is present and connected, that the human experience itself has this divine spark to it, so that we could know that no matter what we go through, God is right there with us, among us, present in all of these things. It's hard for us to relate to the Bible. That's my job as a pastor, try to make this stuff relatable. But this plea, it's not hard to relate to that. This call that you would just tear open the heavens and come. These stories that we read, this man that we celebrate and worship, it's all connected to our own human experiences. And every single one of us here has had that moment where we have just fallen on our knees and said, I don't know what else to do, but God, just please come. Please just be here in this with me. And Jesus is God's answer to that call. In our gospel text today, this apocalyptic text, this very scary text, for us it comes off like it's talking about the end of the world. But it really is a reminder that Jesus is present with us even after Jesus leaves this world. Mark's gospel was written about 70 CE or AD, however you prefer. And during this time, the Jewish temple had just been destroyed by the Roman emperor. And the Jewish temple wasn't just simply the place where people believed that God dwelt. The Jewish temple was literally the very center of religious, economic, and political life for the Jewish people. When that temple came down, that was the bedrock of their entire experience falling apart. That was a moment where everything that they understood as security and comfort and safety and God's presence, it all came falling down among them. And so these people, just like the Israelites, were falling down and crying out, God, that you would please just tear open the heavens and come and be here with us. And this is the text that they were reading. When you hear this language about a great suffering, about the sun being darkened, the moon not giving its life, stars falling from heaven, and the powers in heaven being shaken, that is metaphorical, allegorical, poetic way of describing the suffering that people were experiencing, the suffering that finds voice in the words, God, please tear open the heavens and come. And Jesus reminds the people in this time that the Son of Man will come in clouds in great power and glory. It is a reminder that whatever experiences we are going through, whatever pain is present, whatever loss is happening in our lives, it's not permanent. It doesn't last forever. That God has the final victory in this world. It's hard for us to relate to the Bible, but this human plea is something that we can connect to. We haven't gone through exile, I imagine. We haven't experienced our temple crumbling to the ground. But how many of us remember what we felt on September 11th, 2001? That wasn't just the loss of 3,000 lives, but that was an attack on our whole economic and political system. a moment when the bedrock of everything that made us feel secure and comfortable was shaken, and I can promise you that in that moment, people fell on their knees and said in one way or another, God, that you would just please tear open the heavens and come. We have experienced the pain and the suffering and the fear that is present in these texts 2,000 years ago. That fear is still present with us today, and we experience it on a macro level, like 9/11, and we experience it very personally in our lives. When we lose someone we love, when our health deteriorates, at the loss of a job, pain is just as ubiquitous as God's love. And that's why Jesus came to this world. So that each and every one of you know that God is present there with you, that God loves you, and that it will not last. We start Advent in the Christmas season. It's always a time of joy and celebration. The pastor gives a downer sermon. But I implore you, don't get caught up in just the joy and celebration of this season. Don't get caught up in the commercialization, the gifts, all of the festivities. But remember why. Remember why we celebrate this month. Remember who this is about and what it means for all of us. That God decided to come into this world as a human simply because God loves you. God chose to take on human flesh and suffer and die so that you would know in those moments of your own pain and suffering that you are not alone, that God is there with you, that you are loved. And when those final days come upon us, so that you would know it doesn't last. And something amazing waits for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.